At the elders meeting Thursday, I told Ill that this was going to be different. The last three or four times that I've shared, I just, you know, I'm pretty sure I know where I'm going, and then no, I'm not. And this is even more different than that. So, Lord, I pray that you would just bless and anoint the things that I'm to speak tonight. Lord, that those things that are not of you would just fall to the wayside. And those things that are for me and for all of us, Lord, would find the correct landing places by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, sir. You're dismissed. It's the teacher in me. So, a new what is she saying? A new bed.
Yes.
Well, it's interesting because my opening thing is new. Everything is new. So that's prophetic, I think. You know, we've been hearing that just in the natural and in the spiritual. New, new, and new. It's a new year. Obviously, it's a new decade. And we're hearing prophetically and have been for a while, it's a new era. And that God is not doing things the same way anymore. He's new. Everything is new. And I love that, and I'm excited about that. But I'm like, is there going to be a tutorial? Because we don't know what it is. We keep hearing the word, new and new and new. And I'm thankful for that, and I'm excited, and I'm expectant about it. And it was part of why I kind of couldn't get myself settled about what to share tonight. So Wednesday, I had had a really busy beginning of the week, and Wednesday I was home and I didn't have anything, and I found myself in my living room just restless. And I felt like I should just start praying in the Spirit. And so I did that. I just was in my chair praying in the Spirit. And before I knew it, I was on my feet. I couldn't sit still. And so it's kind of a long shot from the front door to the back deck. And I found myself just pacing up and down, praying in the Spirit. And I could feel something begin to happen. And about 45 minutes in, all of a sudden, I wasn't in my living room anymore. Now, where I was is someplace I have been before. And you know, Paul said, whether it was a dream, a vision, I was in the Spirit, I don't have an explanation for it. I'm not going to try and explain it. I just know I wasn't in my living room anymore. But I was back at the table. Now, some of you who have heard this story a year ago in the fall, October, November, and December of last year, I was having a lot of physical problems and a lot of demonic attack as well. And the Lord, I'd been studying Psalm, the 23rd Psalm, for about 2 years. And the Lord just began to quicken to me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That sermon, I looked it up, was February 9th of 2019. So if you want the whole story about the table, you can listen to that. But part of what happened when I got to that table back in November of last year, the first time I kind of went there, there was this table. And it was covered with all kinds of dirty dishes and napkins and rumpled up things. And there was the Lord. And surrounding this area was the enemy, snarling and growling and carrying on and being who they are. And through the process of several kind of trips back there, one thing after the other happened, and the Lord cleared that table. And it was everything that I had done in ministry up to that point, everything that I had stood for. And there was no guilt or condemnation. The Lord didn't say this was bad stuff. He just said, you're done with this. It's over. This part of your life is over. And there had been some things that had drastically changed in the last few years. And every time I went back, the scenario was the same. This table and the enemy snarling and growling and the Lord there waiting for me. And I don't know how many times I had gone back when the Lord asked me a question, understanding that the things on the table were what I was to do, my ministry. And he said to me, what if I never put anything back on the table? I didn't have an answer immediately for that. So I sat down. And I am not even going to try and explain it, but I was sitting on the ground at Jesus' feet thinking about the question. And I realized with that question that everything around me had gotten quiet. And it was like heaven and hell was poised, waiting to see. And it's not because I'm all that, but the enemy would love to keep us so wound up in what we think we need to be doing that we lose our identity in that and we aren't just who we are being. And my answer was going to be important because I'm more than what I do to the Lord, and so are you. And so I paused, and everybody was waiting, and finally I said, yes, Lord. Yes, I will follow you. If there's never one more thing on my table, I will follow you. And instantly, that table became an altar. And I realized that my transactions with the Lord were going to be different than they'd ever been before. Because different things happen on an altar than at a table. An altar is a place of sacrifice. So, Wednesday, here I am, back at the table. And I hadn't been there. I can't make it happen. It's not always necessarily when I'm praying or it's spiritual, I'm just there. But this time, Wednesday, I'm pacing, praying in tongues, and what's going on? And all of a sudden, there I am again. And there's Jesus waiting for me. And there's the table bare still. And in times past, I would go right to the Lord. But this time, he motioned for me to lay down on the table. I'm probably not going to be able to get through most of this without crying. To lay down on the table. To lie down on the table. And so I did. Face down. On this table. And the Lord said to me that in the next little bit of time that I was spending there with him, he was going to begin to show me some of the foundations in all of our lives that need to be in place for the new to come. And the first thing is, we need to live laid down lives. I was laying on this table. A new level of surrender is going to be required of us. And humility. And I was just laying on this table. Like this. And I thought of Romans 12, which is one of my favorite scriptures. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, wholly devoted and consecrated and well-pleasing to God. which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and your spiritual worship. We are going to have to be living sacrifices. And that means dying to things. That means being willing to do the new when it comes our way, even if we don't understand it, even if we've never done it ourselves. Psalm 110, verse 3 says, "Your people will offer themselves willingly in the day of your power." I believe the day of Jesus' power is coming. And he's requiring of us to lay ourselves down willingly. Not because he cuts our strings and lays us out. Jesus was not forced by anyone to go to the cross. He laid himself down. And he's calling us to do the same. I don't know all that that entails for me or you either. But I do know we're coming into a new place of realizing that if we want to see the new, and if we want to see the power in the things we've been waiting for and praying for decades, we are going to have to be living sacrifices and live holy, consecrated, dedicated lives. Excuse me, my mouth is very dry tonight. The Lord had been dealing with me for the last couple of months about my time and what I do with my time and what I do with my spare time in particular. And I love British mysteries, you know, Sherlock Holmes and Vera and Midsummer Murders and all of those things. And the Lord said, nope. Nope. Step away from those things for now. It's not sin. I'm not talking about sin issues in our lives. I'm talking about the things that rob our time. Does it mean that I'm never going to watch another British mystery? I know I will, but I know I will when God says I can. Not just because this is what I want to do tonight. I'm telling you, it's a deeper level of laying down. It's a silly thing, watching something on TV. But when we stop and think about the things that eat up our time often, God is desirous and envious of that. And he's saying, if you want to be used, and if you want to see me move, you're going to have to lay it down. The second thing he said to me as I was still laying there, and this was something that he had started telling me about 2 weeks ago. Some of you know that last fall, with all of the health things, I had had an MRI that showed that I have some serious back issues going on. And I had determined that I was not going to have surgery, even though the neurosurgeon said I should have surgery. And I'm like, nope, not doing it. Nope, absolutely not. Not going there. Nope, not doing it. But it was more like, nope, I'm not doing it. And amazingly, I had very little pain. I should be in a lot of pain. I should not really even be standing here, honestly. I saw the MRI myself, and even my untrained eye is like, oh, that's not good. I don't think my disc is supposed to be, like, hanging off. Like, pretty sure that's not good. But I went to Wales in the spring, and I have had very little pain until December. And increasingly, over the month of December, I started to have more pain. And I thought, well, you know, it's the holidays, I've been shopping, I've been on my feet a little more, I'm sure that's what's going on, but I'm still not even willing to consider surgery. And about 2 weeks ago, I had had to cancel a couple of appointments and take some pain medication, which I hate doing because I become like a zombie. I am not non-functioning on this medication. And I'm like, Lord, what is going on? And here's what he said to me. You never asked me what you should do about your back. Because I was pretty sure he didn't want me to have surgery. I didn't ask. I thought I knew what he wanted. I knew what I wanted. But I didn't ask. So I have asked since then, tearfully repented and asked, and I don't have an answer yet. I'm not healed, but I don't know what God's answer is yet. I'm waiting to hear. And the thing he spoke to me on the table is, we can no longer presume to know. I've been at this... I've been a Christian 48 years this spring. I'll be a Christian 48 years. I've done a few things in those 48 years. I've learned a lot. And you kind of have a way of doing things when you've been doing it for a long time. Jesus, however, did not have a style. Did he? No. There are some things like ministries, even good solid ministries like Billy Graham. If you went to a Billy Graham crusade, you knew exactly what you were getting. Hymns, testimonies, gospel message, altar call, basically. Didn't veer from that. It worked for him. I'm assuming he asked what to do. There are liturgical churches, the same. I grew up in a liturgical church. The same Sunday is the same every single week. We have fallen into that in many charismatic churches, freer churches, because we worship and then we, well, we don't anymore. We switch up. We do announcements first. But it's pretty much the same. And we always say, Lord, we want you to move, Holy Spirit move, and he does. But it's basically the same every week. And the Lord is saying, you can no longer assume to know just because you've been doing it this way for a long time. James 1:5 says, if any man lacks wisdom, all he has to do is ask. Sometimes the reason we don't ask is we don't think we lack wisdom. We know how to do it. Right? We think we know how to do it. We think we know how to pray for people to be healed. We think we know how to pray deliverance. We think we know whatever we think we know. And we don't ask. We're getting to the point, to this time, where we're going to have to ask every time. I don't care if you've done it 100 times one way before. The Lord is saying, ask me, ask, ask, because it will usher in the new. And let me just say that. It's not always going to make sense. It's not always going to look right. I mean, he had a prophet wander around unclothed for a while, and another guy lay on his side for like a year and a half or some crazy thing. John is in the wilderness eating bugs. It's not going to be understandable sometimes. And if you look at the number of people that Jesus healed, is it recorded that he ever did it twice the same way? It may be, but not often. Sometimes he's laying hands. Sometimes he's speaking from a distance. Sometimes he's spitting on people's eyes and making mud. He wants us to be as open as he was to asking the Father, what do we do? It says that Jesus, who is our model in this new pattern, always Jesus, never did anything that he didn't see and hear the Father do. He asked. Every time, what do I do? and he was 100% successful. And we've got some success stories too, don't we? But as we go into this new, we're going to have to ask in a way that we've never asked before and not presume. He's not necessarily going to give us a blueprint of the new, but it's going to cause us to have a deeper relationship with him. I want the same relationship with Father that Jesus had with Father. I want that kind of a relationship that I can see and that I can hear and that I can do what it is he's saying, even if I've never done it that way before. I'm still, through all of this, face down on the table, and I'm aware that Jesus is right there. But I realized it was very quiet. And any other time I'd been there, even when Jesus was present, there's the enemy roaring around. Just because Jesus is there, the enemy didn't come near me, but he was there roaring around. This time, I became aware of the fact that it was really quiet. And so I kind of lifted my head, and I realized that we were surrounded by a company of angels. And this is no news. We've heard this said before. In this new season, this new era, there is going to be more angelic visitations than we have ever had before. I really believe that. They've always been there. It's not like they're just coming all of a sudden. They've always been there. But we're going to be more aware of them. There have been several times right here in pre-service where several of us have seen angels, literally seen them. And my husband and I have had the opportunity to actually see an angel in the flesh and shake his hand one time. It's another story. But there's going to be greater angelic activity. You can count on it. We are not to pray to angels. We are not to worship angels. You guys all know that. Jesus said when they were coming to arrest him in Matthew 26, he said, "Don't you suppose that I can't appeal to my Father and he will send me more than 12 legions of angels just by asking?" Now, I looked it up and I think there were about 6,000 soldiers in a legion. So we're talking about 72,000 angels just by asking. We have the same Father as Jesus. So do you think we can call on Father and say, "Lord, would you send some angelic coverage here because I need help?" Yes. And we're going to begin to see and realize more visible. And I'll tell you that they are drawn to worship. There are certain angels that I see almost every time I worship that look different than others, but they're drawn to that. And you know, their job is to serve us. They're not redeemed beings. Their job is to serve us, to serve the children of God, to worship him and to follow his orders and to serve us. That's their job. Don't be afraid to say, "Father, I'm asking your angels to go before me. I'm asking your angels to surround me." We have the same Father that Jesus did. And we've got to begin to believe that they're there for a purpose and they're there for us. This isn't going to be too long tonight. I just have a couple more things I want to say. So first of all, laid down, surrendered, holy lives. Not being presumptuous or assuming we know, but asking, expecting angelic activity. And as I was laying there, all of a sudden, I felt something being poured over me. Just like if somebody was standing over you and just poured a bucket of something. And my eyes were closed. And I knew that it was a substance, just how you know in your spirit, of blood and of oil. The Lord wants us to begin to have a new understanding of the blood of Jesus Christ. Of what it is, of what it does, of how to use it, of what to believe about it. You know, we sing songs, there's power, power, wonder-working power. Do you believe that? Or is it just an old charismatic hymn? There is power in the blood of Jesus. About 2 weeks ago, December and January have been quite a month for me. You tuned up here and there. And I was having a real battle with past regrets, things I'd done in my past. Now, it's interesting because just this week, in two counseling appointments I've had, both of the women I met with said, I'm having a real struggle with the enemy bringing up regrets from my past. I'm like, that's interesting. Do you know that the enemy will do that sometimes? He overplays his hand, you know, and it's like 10 people are having the same problem, and you're like, oh, well, we know who that is, right? He goes too far. And I was doing everything I always do when I fight the enemy. I was doing that. I was pleading the blood of Jesus. I was praying. I was saying, that's a lie, blah, 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 blah. The Lord said, nothing was changing. And we're back kind of to the assuming and presuming. And the Lord said, I want you to dip a paintbrush in the blood. And every time something comes up, I want you to do this. Paint over it with the blood of Jesus. He had never asked me to do that before. That was something brand new. Praying, binding, and all of that had worked for me in the past. It wasn't working because God is saying something new. So, if you ever see me doing this, pay no attention to that, or pray for me. But it's a new thing, and it's a new appreciation, because those things truly are under the blood, and I don't want to even see them anymore. So I'm painting over them with the blood of Jesus. There's a new way to fight that's coming as well. I don't know if any of you listen to Leland, but he, in the fall, released a new record. There's a record. There's vinyl's coming back, I know. An 8-track.
There you go.
So, anyway, on his latest thing, there's a song called A Better Word, and it's based from Hebrews. But I want to just read to you these lyrics. Your blood is healing every wound. Do you have any wounds that need healing? Your blood is making all things new. Your blood speaks a better word. Your blood, the measure of my worth. Your blood, more than I deserve. Your blood speaks a better word. It's singing out with life. It's shouting down the lies. It echoes through the night. The precious blood of Christ speaks a better word. Your blood, a robe of righteousness. Your blood, my hope and my defense. Your blood forever covers me. It speaks a better word. It's calling out my name. We just heard that, didn't we? It's breaking every chain. It's making all things right. The precious blood of Christ. It speaks a better word. It's rewriting my history. It covers me with destiny. It's making all things right. The precious blood of Christ. It speaks a better word. He wants us in this season to have the better than we've ever had before. A better understanding and a better appreciation of what his blood has done and is doing and will continue to do. It is more powerful than any other weapon in our arsenal, the blood of Jesus Christ. I said that I realized that what was being poured over me was a mixture. I don't know how I knew that. I don't know how I got where I was. But it was oil. And you know, oil always indicates the Holy Spirit, but 6 or more months ago, the Lord kept speaking something to me that I've had to think on and pray about. He's like, expect the standing Christ. Expect the standing Christ. And I'm like, okay, what does that mean? Expect the standing Christ. And I was reading a book, and the author mentioned something about the standing Christ. That happens to me all the time. I hear something from God, I don't understand it, and he brings something to me that will clarify it. And I began to get the picture of Jesus being our high priest. And he is that, right? And in Exodus, God speaks to Moses and he talks about setting Aaron and his sons apart as high priests. And they had the job of going into the Holy of Holies and really mediating for the people, standing between God and the people, and bringing into the very holiest of places the sacrifices. And he talked about pouring oil over Aaron's head. And there's a reference made to that right in Psalm 133, I think it is. How good and how pleasant it is when brethren join together, that it's like the oil that was poured over Aaron down his beard. So when God told Moses to anoint Aaron with oil, he didn't have one of the little roly ball things that we have, you know, that we like roll oil on people. He didn't have that. He had a horn full or a bowl full of oil that he dumped over his head that fell off his beard, it says, to the hem of his garment. I mean, that's a lot of oil, saturated with oil. So what do you think happened? It says in, Mark 16, after Jesus was raised again from the dead, that he, you know, gave some last words to his disciples and that he ascended into heaven. And Mark is the only one that says, and then he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Here is the high priest now coming into the Holy of Holies. And I got this picture in my head of Father taking a big bucket of oil. Here's our high priest now in heaven in the holiest place. And Father taking that bucket of oil and just dumping it over him. Down, down, off his garments into Pentecost. And the Lord began to speak to me that with every move of God, there's been a new anointing. And the oil has poured off our high priest onto us. The only other time that I'm aware of, please correct me if I'm wrong, that it specifically says that Jesus stood was when Stephen was being stoned to death. And it said he looked up and he proclaimed to the crowd, I see Jesus standing. It's in Acts 7. And that was the beginning of the church, really, because that persecution caused them to spread and turn the world upside down. If Jesus has been sitting and oil is being poured over him and poured over him and poured over him, and we're getting residue of it, what's going to happen when he stands? What's going to happen when he stands? Because if he's sitting, there's a reservoir, I'm sure, in his lap. It's overflowed off his garments. But when he stands, what's going to happen? Whoosh! The glory that Stephen saw. It was Jesus welcoming him into glory. And I believe that we're getting close to the standing Jesus again. That he is going to stand. And everything that has been building up, our prayers, our sacrifices, our fasting, our praying, our begging, our pleading, God, come and move again, is going to bring him to his feet. And the anointing oil from heaven is going to bring the glory down upon us once again. We are going to see and experience some things we've never seen before. It's coming. We're on the very cusp. It's beginning already in some other places to happen. I've been reading some data. Was it Robert Heidler that just posted about Thailand? That they're having a huge revival in Thailand? It's happening and it's coming. And it's coming to us. We have to make sure before the new comes that these, which are really just foundational things, are strong and in place. That we are living laid down lives that no longer belong to us. That we will be humble enough to ask, understanding we're not as wise as we thought we were. That we will expect God to send companies of angels to work with us. That his blood is over us and covering and strengthening us. And the Holy Spirit is getting ready to pour out once again the glory of God upon his people. Father, we need your anointing. We thank you for your blood. And Father, we confess that we're not as wise as we used to be, or we thought we were, and that we need your wisdom, and that we will be humble enough to ask. Break the rut. Break the box. Break the routine, O God. And Lord, we thank you that you created angelic hosts for us to minister to us, your children. And Father, your anointing, that we will prevail, the anointing to overcome, the anointing to minister in a new and a fresh way, to produce a new generation of laid down lovers, that we will see signs and wonders and miracles, and you'll do it by the work of our hands through your power, O God. Let us not be satisfied with where we are. Firm our foundations, Lord, and let our eyes be on the horizon, watching for the new. And let us be ready. Jesus. Lord Jesus. Take us places we've never been before. You have is all we want. Jesus. then I was back in the living room. And it was better than any British mystery. Amen.
Set your expectations higher, because He wants us to come higher. He's been calling us into His presence all night. I don't know what you all saw when we were just being, but He was smiling at us. There was just this radiance just coming from His face, smiling over us all. So one of the things that we can do as a family is enjoy some fellowship. We need the kids to help us eat the snacks. And there's some healthy snacks, and there's some fun snacks. Remember to be praying for the presbytery, because Lisa's message is really what the prophets are going to be speaking over the congregation, over the candidates, and over the region. So in these next 3 weeks leading up to presbytery, just keep pursuing the presence of the Lord, because it's going to be wonderful. It's going to change our lives. I can speak from experience on that. It'll be 3 days past 34 years when the Lord told us to stay in Rochester in a presbytery meeting. So I'm excited about what He's going to say, because He's going to speak to the generations. He's going to speak to each of us. So, Lord, the angels that are here, make them snowplow angels, so that your sons and daughters get safely to their place of rest in your presence tonight. In Jesus' name. I love you all. Have a blessed week.